Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you. I'm grateful that you have chosen to invest some time with us to discover some strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge. And pardon me, it's like the major transition time here in Iowa, where we've had 70-degree days the past couple of days, which is unusually warm for November. So we're looking at 74 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday, 72 degrees Fahrenheit today, and, well, by Friday, we're talking high of 40 and snow showers. So we're having some transition, so I may have to mute out for some additional sneezes. We'll hope not. So how are you? How has your past week been? If you're listening to these segments a week apart, what have you put into action since last listening to Spark? Were you able to practice some pieces from motivation, self-motivation, persistence we talked about last time, to actually try some new strategies? Are they working for you? Had a client this past week who we had just started working together, and my working as an accountability partner with him, and a week was too long, he discovered, as far as checkpoints. And so as he's learning about, or redesigning maybe is a better way to say it, some lifestyle choices he's making to make better choices, we came up with a new plan for the week ahead for daily email check-in on his progress. And sometimes when we are trying to do something new, it's helpful to have that accountability in an even shorter term. And then as things begin to flow, become a habit, become easier, we can spread out that accountability check-in. And so for some of you, if you are, you know, listening a week apart to Spark, that might be a little too far for you. So you can review. The nice thing about Spark is that you can go back and listen to the archives as often as you'd like. So you could have a daily review, or, you know, 2-3 times a week if you would like. Or you can visit www.brainbonanza.com to find out other ways that we could work together, whether you choose to hire me as a growth catalyst or an accountability partner to work with you to speed up the changes you want to implement in your life. That's what a catalyst does. And, or to maybe check out some of the additional resources that you could use to support your journey of growth and change to create the life that you desire and deserve. We are very happy to serve you and support you on that journey in your life, to share the tools, the resources that we've discovered on our journey as well. So there were several different books or topics and websites we've talked about, and we'll probably add some more of those tonight. Tonight's topic is a little bit of this and that. I'm working on a staff development presentation on multiple intelligences, and so since that's top of mind for me, we'll spend a little bit of time looking at the different ways to be smart, because some of us have labeled ourselves or accepted the labeling of others based on a very narrow view of intelligence. So tonight we'll explore Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences and all the different ways that you can be smart and how you could assess your multiple intelligences profile freely. Freely or free, at no cost to you. It's nice we can bring you those resources as well as low-cost resources. So if you have any questions or things on your mind that you would like to talk about or see if we have some resources that could spark the change in your life, please give us a call at 347-215-8390. And some of you I know have been listening to Spark for a long time. We very much appreciate your loyalty as listeners, and we invite you to invite a friend, that bring a friend idea along with you, because that's a way for you to get an accountability partner. Also, please rate our show. We like your feedback. We're very grateful for those of you who have sent emails to brainbonanza@gmail.com. That's brainbonanza@gmail.com. And those emails come to me. And so put in the subject line whatever you have a question about, what you'd like some more information about, or a challenge that we might be able to help you with, and we're happy to serve you. Coming up later this month, I have a continuing education course on Your Magnificent Memory, which is one of my favorites to facilitate because it's fun and people are so excited to realize how they can make some lifestyle choices that actually will make it easier for them to remember more effectively, to recall more effectively, as well as to learn some coding and encoding processes for how to put information in more effectively. So it's exciting to be able to help others. And that is our mission, to empower people with strategies and resources to create positive outcomes personally, professionally, organizationally, to discover ideas that make you say, wow. So we hope that as you listen, each segment there's at least one, wow, I didn't know that, or wow, I hadn't thought about that. Or, wow, what a cool website or book or resource. So some of you who listen, I know, are familiar with Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, and others of you may not be so much. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on reviewing those eight intelligences. And if you would like to take a free assessment to get an idea of where you are stronger and weaker around those intelligences, you can go to www.acceleratedlearning.com. That's acceleratedlearning.com. And you can take the assessment and then go from there. So let's explore the eight ways that you can be smart. And for most of us during our school or development, we tended to take tests that measure two kinds of intelligence primarily, our word smart, our reading vocabulary smart, and our number smart, the logical mathematical. So if we're primarily tested on verbal linguistic, word smart, or logical mathematical, or logic smart, number smart, then the other six intelligences are more or less left out. And so sometimes people have walked away from their formal education with that label or concept that, hey, I'm just not smart. I'm not like the smart kids. Or I won't be successful like the smart kids. And the smart kids are often those students who learn how to maximize their strengths and shore up their weaknesses and use their strengths to work with their weaker areas. Some students did that naturally. Others had inspiring teachers, parents, other adults in their life who help them understand about the different ways to be smart. I know in my work with the Luther College Upward Bound program, that was one of the things that we wanted to help those high school students understand, was that there were many ways to be smart. And once you understood where your strengths were, you could use that to improve in all areas of your performance. And you could learn some strategies to help in the areas, and just plain trying it and practicing it helps in those areas as well. So we've talked about two. We've talked about the logic, smart, logical, mathematical, and verbal linguistic word smart. And so let's take a look at some examples around that. If we've got people that you think of who maybe were very good with language, who for them it was a strength. Some people might come to mind. Who might you think about that had a really strong intelligence, was very word smart? A lot of times authors come to mind. People who just seem to have a gift around language. Have you thought of anyone yet? I'll bet you have. And if not, I'll bet you will. Let's take a think. What about Dickens, Lincoln, thinking of Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln, Sir Winston Churchill, a very effective communicator as well. Because thinking about linguistic intelligence, people who are good with words, reading, writing, communicating. So authors, as we said, come to mind, poets, good speakers, comedians. They all have a very strong linguistic, verbal linguistic language intelligence. And you will see these labels a lot of different ways. There's a book that I'll be using that's written for elementary children, that's written in rhyme, that uses language that makes sense to sense to kids, like word smart, instead of linguistic. So you will see those different things. And then the logical mathematical intelligence is the ability to reason, to calculate, think logically, systematically, engineers, scientists, detectives, accountants, those are all people with a strong logical mathematical intelligence. Albert Einstein is an example listed. This article that I'm referencing is also at acceleratedlearning.com, called Exploring the Theory of Multiple Intelligences. And I want to back up for a minute, because one of the things that makes this a powerful theory is the way that Gardner went about identifying what made something an intelligence. And he defined an intelligence as an ability to solve a problem or fashion a product which is valued in one or more cultural settings. He also had the criteria that it had to be located in a specific area of the brain. And that was a pretty consistent way that the brain processed that intelligence, that there was a dedicated area for that. And originally he started with 7 intelligences, and then he added the 8th, which we'll talk about, the naturalist intelligence. And then I believe he's also added a 9th, which is spiritual intelligence. But we won't probably get into that in the time that we have tonight. So let's go back to thinking about the different 8 different intelligences, and then using that information. You know, so as we go through this, think about, you know, do you do well with these in these areas? Maybe, or you may not be as strong. Okay, there's visual spatial intelligence. This is the ability to visualize in your mind, to visualize future things that haven't happened yet, to understand spatial relationships mentally, architects, sculptors, photographers, sailors, the strategic planners, all of these people have to have that visual, spatial, I can imagine the future, strong intelligence. The examples this article talks about are Picasso and Frank Lloyd Wright, artists, again, very good at their visual spatial intelligence. And very often, these intelligences are where our gifts lie, that's because these are easy for us. Let's talk a minute about musical intelligence, to be music smart, the ability to make music, compose music, sing, rhythm, and jingles and rhymes. You know, most of us remember those short things because they engage multiple areas of the brain. Although some of us can create complex music more easily than others. If you think about the Mozarts, Leonard Bernstein, Ray Charles, etc., to be music smart. Are you music smart? And, so, and it may not be in all areas of music. I enjoy singing. I did not quite have the coordination to read music and play an instrument. My husband does. My son's learning piano. And I'm learning piano with him, which is reinforcing for me my ability to read music. What about your to be body smart? It's called bodily kinesthetic intelligence. This is, you know, being coordinated, athletic dancing, being able to move your body skillfully, use your body to solve problems, express emotion, in building things, got a good sense of balance. And unfortunately, this is that I'm really good with my hands intelligence that has been underrated by some. It's just a skill. I mean, surgeons have to have a strong body kinesthetic intelligence. Think about it. Sports figures, of course, the Michael Jordans. Charlie Chaplin was really skilled at using his body to be expressive in silent films, and as well as controlling his body with the stunts that he would do. And there's the story of a fall that many were surprised didn't kill him. But in that, he took the energy of the fall and he ended it in a series of tumbling, somersaults and things, which actually dispersed the some of the energy from that fall. Very strong in body, smart body kinesthetic intelligence. And there's people smart. That's our interpersonal or social intelligence. These are those people who naturally connect with others that communicate effectively using, because they read nonverbal communication, they have empathy, they notice what motivates other people, they work well with others. And so, of course, those teachers, facilitators, salespeople, religious leaders, politicians, Mother Teresa would be here. Gandhi is listed as someone very strong in interpersonal intelligence, Oprah Winfrey. Are you people smart? Then there's self-smart. Self-smart is called intrapersonal intelligence, intra being within, interpersonal, people in between people. So intrapersonal intelligence is, do you understand yourself? Reflection, self-analysis. Sorry about that. Our other phone is ringing. I may have to pause again. Thank you for being patient. I always forget to turn the volume off on this phone, and from time to time it does ring in the midst of our shows, and so I need to rely on someone else to grab it. So we were talking about intrapersonal intelligence, the ability to understand yourself, to reflect on situations, contemplate, come up with ideas. You can feel good about your accomplishments, thinking about why you're feeling what you're feeling, planning and goal setting strengths are here. Philosophers, counselors, peak performers have a strong intrapersonal intelligence, the ability to say, you know, what am I responsible for? What's maybe an environmental or an external factor in the situation? And then what can I control? Motivation, things like that. People who had strong intrapersonal intelligences, in according to this article, and of course there are many others, Eleanor Roosevelt, Plato. And then in 1996, Gardner added the eighth intelligence, the naturalist intelligence. And since this article is posted on the internet, I do believe he has added the spiritualist intelligence again, but we can go into that another time because we're going to focus on the eighth. And when it comes to learning, and whether it's in the school system or learning new things, we generally tend to focus on these eight. But the spiritualist intelligence may get its own upcoming segment. For now, let's talk about the naturalist intelligence. To be nature smart, people who are nature smart enjoy being in the natural world. They recognize plants and animals, are environmentally conscious. They coordinate and organize, like to sort things into classifications and groups. They're skilled at that. And hunting, farming, biology, conservationists, environmentalists all have a strong naturalist intelligence. Darwin, E.O. Wilson. And so thinking about the fact that, you know, if you've really limited your thinking about smart to word smart and number smart, now knowing that there's six other ways that you can be smart. And it's kind of like if you think of it as a wheel that has eight spokes, and each one might be a different length. And, you know, if you're trying to roll, it's a little bumpy. You want to use your strongest because that tends to be easiest and natural for you. And there are ways that you can learn pretty much anything through all eight of the intelligences. And again, if you think about, I mentioned jingles, that when you put things to music, it's easy to remember. When you know it in your body, you know it, Eric Jensen says, and has been demonstrated, Jean Blades Madigan and her work with action-based learning, and being able to teach things through use of your body, sound, movement, music, doing things in groups. And when you combine intelligences, it makes the learning process stronger and stickier in the sense that it's easier to remember because you're encoding it using multiple strategies and multiple pathways. And so I apologize, I popped away from my switchboard as I was referring to that article. So if you do have a question or comment about multiple intelligences, give me a call at 347-215-8390, and we'll be happy to answer your questions if we can, or to look at some resources if we are unable to. But let's take a look for a minute about some of the different ways that activities that you could do if you're having to learn a new process at work or want to use those strengths, those eight intelligences, things that if you're word smart, verbal linguistic, things like storytelling, tell yourself a story. Make up a story about a process. Make it creative and fun, and that makes it easier to remember. Doing research, understanding the why, the meanings of the words. Doing some journal writing, so that you have a record, so you can write down the process, the questions, the clarifications that you discover. Debating might also be an activity that would help just to get solidify processes. Play the devil's advocate, as the saying goes, about take the opposite point of view and look at that. Logical, mathematical, some activities that work well for you when you are learning new things, things that are strong for you. I look at predicting, collecting data, puzzles, using money, geometry, putting things into spatial relationships so that you, it's not only do you have the words, but you can also maybe physically do a diagram or take. I've been known to, if I was in a cafeteria and I had a salt shaker, a pepper shaker, each of the utensils, and each of them represented something else. And so now we had a relationship that was a distance, and it was also visual spatial as well as looking at the relationship. So using models is definitely helpful in logical, mathematical. Sequencing things, measuring things, putting things into an order is helpful if your logical, mathematical intelligence is your strongest. What about visual spatial? What are some things that, activities that would work well to use that strength? Graphing, taking pictures. Again, those 3D projects, whether you make a model using clay or found objects, something that makes it so you can see it, so it's not just a list, it's not just words. Color coding is helpful with visual spatial, using mind mapping, webbing, some kind of a chart or organizer so that there's a visual spatial relationship to things. It's not just a list of words on the page. You can, using sketches or doodles. You could use visual puzzles, patterning, map stories with your characters and your plot and the relationship between the characters and the setting. You can have visual metaphors and analogies that are helpful. And now with digital photography, that's another tool. Well, let's move on to body smart. What are some things that are activities that will help use your strength in being body smart? Doing hands-on things, hands-on experiments. The learning from doing is very powerful in this intelligence. If you can rearrange the room, sit in a different place, maybe stand instead of sit. So you're changing your body's relationship in space. Add creative movement. We've talked about that. When you know it in your body, you know it. Going on field trips, moving, creating, doing crafts that involve movement, drama, making a skit or a series of dance steps, using cooperative groups. And then, of course, as I said, dancing. So adding that movement factor uses your body kinesthetic strength to remember things. And I think sometimes we get so concerned about what other people think. It's like, well, I don't want anybody seeing me do that. Well, you know, you can put things in your body as you're sitting in a chair. You can use your ankle, move your feet, move your wrist, your fingers, or allow other people to have their opinions. They're entitled to that, and then you move on and leave their opinions to them and do what works for you. Too often we sacrifice our success and our progress for those opinions of other people. So what about some activities that would use your music intelligence strength? Humming, tapping, patterns, rhythms, rhymes, singing, coming up with using musical instruments, the background music. I know I work better when I've got instrumental music going in the background. I can focus more effectively. How about people smart? What are some activities that would help you use your strength of being people smart? Social gatherings, whether it's parties, lunches together, using peer editing on your projects, getting feedback from multiple people in the course of that project. That's like cooperative learning. Working in groups is very energizing. It's very motivating and effective for your idea sharing. Being part of a club where you share an interest. Peer teaching or peer training so that you are learning from one another. Discussion groups, brainstorming, conflict mediation, all those opportunities where you have to interact with people as opposed to working by yourself are going to allow you to use your people strength, your interpersonal intelligence in learning your process or in doing your job. And there's the self-smart, the intrapersonal intelligence. In your intrapersonal intelligence, how can you use this? Give yourself some alone time to reflect, to keep a journal or a log of your progress, having personal choice in the projects, doing independent reading, some reflection and meditation time. All of those things help to use your self-smart. What about nature smart? Some activities that you could do that would use your strength of being nature smart. Cloud watching, especially in looking at the different, not only the formations, but the different types of clouds. Getting a little cold in the Midwest United States to be out cloud watching. It's going to be wet in the next few days. And even talking about the different kinds of clouds that you might notice on a summer day versus a winter day. Identifying insects or animals. Building habitats for animals. Going on a nature walk. Being out in nature and noticing the different plants. Gardening. Astronomy, stargazing, bird watching, rock collecting, all of those activities use your strength. Being environmentally savvy in terms of the choices that you're making. Are you recycling? How are you using your water and energy? People with strong naturalist intelligence tend to notice those things and are very conscientious about those things because it's a natural part of their intelligence, their process. So, I invite you again to go out to acceleratedlearning.com. And there is I think each one has 10 questions, and you can answer, you rate those for how true they are of you, and then you identify your strengths. And I just needed to double check this website because I think it's acceleratedlearningnetwork.com. So make sure you have the word network.com in there, acceleratedlearningnetwork.com. You can also Google multiple intelligences and see what comes up for you in the area of multiple intelligences. What are you still learning in your life? That's my next question. Are you? Do you have a goal of continuing your learning process? And again, you know, we talk about different ways people learn, and we've talked before at Spark about learning styles with people who learn best by seeing, who are tend to prefer to take information in visually, and then those who prefer to hear. The auditory processors prefer to hear it and deal with it in an auditory manner. And the kinesthetic processors, the body, haptic learning, doing, tactile learners. And again, none is better, they're just different. And when we honor that diversity, we strengthen everyone. And we also can learn that we can work from our strengths, and we can also improve our lesser strengths by practice. And we don't have to be best at everything. We can allow ourselves to playfully explore. You know, your boss might not like the playfully explore part. They might want you to focus on your best. And once you know that about yourself, it allows you some flexibility, some more choices. And one of the choices now, this wonderful resource book that my colleague Leanne Nicholson co-wrote with Eric Jensen, who owns Jensen Learning Company, where I was certified as a brain-based trainer. They co-wrote a book called Deeper Learning, 7 Powerful Strategies for In-Depth and Longer Lasting Learning. And it's a wonderful tool if you're an educator, a trainer, or even a parent for how to help broaden and deepen the learning process. So it's not just knowledge factual, but it's also taking it to the analysis and synthesizing and application and assimilation to really own the information and at a deeper level. One of the pieces is to realize that we do have some needs in terms of, in order to allow our brain to work. And the model that they use, they took Roy G. Biv, which many of us learned, met Roy when we learned about the colors of the visible light spectrum, also known as the rainbow. And so that sequence of 7, we already know, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So they created an acronym with those same, Roy G. Biv, to help remember what our brains need in order to do their best work. As I'm flipping the pages here, because I forgot to mark it, to see what those 7 are. Oxygen is the O, so being able, doing the breathing exercise is important, making sure that you've, if you've been sitting for a long period of time, that you are getting up, that you're increasing your circulation. Yes, now I'm flipping backwards to locate that, because again, I've learned them under different names, and so haven't learned, there we go, the acronym. All right, so let's start out with the R for Roy G. Biv. And again, this is from Deeper Learning by Leanne Nicholson and Eric Jensen. So the first of the 7 powerful ways to encode information for the long term is repetition. Elaborate rehearsal of concepts. So you can repeat content using games, flashcards, revisions, reviews. And it's not just repeating it exactly the same way and just writing it 100 times. That's not going to be as effective. But if you're also, you're writing, you're saying, you're playing, that kind of repetition can make a difference. The O is oxygen from activity and movement. So if you're acting out words, playing a simulation role play, cooperative learning experiments, drama, charades, putting it into your body, you're increasing the oxygen in your body. The Y is yearning for meaning. The information needs to be personally relevant if you want it to stick for the long term. So in my work with staff, in our subject matter experts who want to present more effectively, trainers who want to train more effectively, dealing with service, I do service training, and helping our frontline credit union folks understand about the importance of only selling benefits, because that's all people buy. But the idea is everybody has the same favorite radio station, which is WIIFM. What's in it for me? And in yearning for meaning, helping yourself, if you're the one that needs to do the learning, or if you're coaching your kids in learning, helping them understand what's in it for me about this information or this content. Connect content with you, using similes, metaphors, things you can connect to already. The G is glucose, which is the technical term for sugar. And there, you do want some healthy glucose coming in on a regular basis because those sugar highs and lows make it really tough for the brain to function. So you need glucose, especially for memory. And based on research, adolescents need glucose replenished every 90 minutes. Younger kids, it's more often elementary school, at least every 45 to 60. You want to give them a little something. And there's also in this book, Foods That Maximize Learning, which we've talked about on past shows and we'll revisit again. And I don't have a date, although Leanne Nicholson has agreed to be a guest on Spark. So I'll be talking to her about her work with nutrition and her journey with deeper learning and processing. All of those are very important to her and the work that she's done working with teachers. Bias the attention, that's the B. So you want to bias attention by using state changes, get people's attention to hook them into the learning using novelty and urgency, because people can pay attention or make meaning. And you want to grab their attention, focus your own attention, what's going to get you to pay attention. If you're the one that's having some challenges, find a hook that works for you. The I is intensity of emotion. We remember things that are emotion-laden. And so when you're working with kids, you know, things that are gross, things that are surprises, dressing unusually, having some competition, some rhythm, having some challenging questions, you know, bringing in some debates, getting some emotion involved makes it memorable. And that's true for you, too. If you've got to remember a process, find a reason to engage some feeling around that. And then finally, the V is variety of word tools. So it's not just the same old, here's a list, but using mnemonics, memory tools, acronyms, flow charts, stick figures, etc. So there's our Roy G. Biv. 7 powerful ways to encode information for long-term memory: repetition, oxygen from activity and movement, yearning for meaning, make it personal, what's in it for me, glucose, have healthy snacks, balancing complex carbs so you can maintain your blood sugar level, biasing attention, hook it so that you've got the attention connected to it, intensity of emotion, get your feelings engaged in the process, and the V is variety of word tools, so graphic organizers, rhythm. And you can start hearing now we're also using multiple intelligences in here. So, wow, what an action-packed time we've had. And we've got 1 minute remaining. So tonight you learned 7 ways to encode information for the long term, 8 ways that you are smart with multiple intelligences. If you go to the acceleratedlearningnetwork.com, you can grab that, take that assessment. I'll post the books in the description of the show, Deeper Learning, 7 Powerful Strategies for In-Depth and Longer-Lasting Learning, as well as there's a couple other resources on multiple intelligences I'll share with you. So if you've labeled yourself and limited yourself in the past, the challenge for the week ahead is to let go of the past limitations and to allow yourself to explore where your natural strengths may lie. To realize that we are all smart, we just are smart in different ways. And in that diversity comes our strength. So honor that diversity in the week ahead and explore that. Take an action. Figure out, how are you smart? What is your profile? And if you work with kids in your life, think about that as you are coaching them in their homework and their learning, that there are many ways to be smart and to honor that as well. Thank you for being with us one more week here on Spark as we're starting our second year. We're very excited about that. Please invite a friend. And if you have questions or suggestions for future shows, please send an email to brainbonanza@gmail.com. And I will post a date as soon as I have a commitment from Leanne Nicholson, the co-author of Deeper Learning. as to when she will be available to be a guest here on Spark. So until next time, enjoy all the different ways to be smart, and we look forward to seeing you again. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.